From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. Cap Radio will again today bring you NPR's special coverage of the impeachment trial in the U.S. Senate, and that will start immediately following Insight. To the wildfires in Australia, that plane crash a week ago, and now a heat wave that's been making the fire danger in some parts of the country much worse. Shauna LaGarza is Director of Fire and Aviation Management for the U.S. Forest Service. You might remember that we expected to talk with her last Thursday on Insight, but the conversation was canceled after a C-130 carrying fire retardant and three American firefighters crashed the night before that conversation. Three firefighters on board did not survive the crash, but we say thanks to U.S. Forest Service for rescheduling the conversation for today. Director LaGarza, thanks for joining us from Washington, D.C.
Thank you very much, Beth. Thanks for having me.
So this heat wave is yet another extreme weather factor. What's the latest assessment of the firefight in Australia? And is the number of fires growing, the perimeter still expanding?
Yeah, absolutely, Beth. That's a good question. So Australia went through a little period about a week and a half ago of a bit of a cooling trend that came through the country. But yesterday and today, it's starting to heat back up again. The next cycle of heat waves, dry thunderstorms and lightning and more fire on the landscape, more open line across many states in Australia.
So what do you know now about the crash that happened last week?
Well, it's still under investigation in Australia, and so we don't comment on that crash. Or just still a lot of thoughts and prayers. Just the Coulson Aviation, the air tanker company, and the families that were involved in that crash. So we wait for the authorities to release that information from Australia before we comment on it. Really sad news.
Yeah, 44-year-old Captain Ian Macbeth of Montana, 42-year-old First Officer Paul Clyde Hudson of Arizona, and 43-year-old Flight Engineer Rick DeMorgan Jr. of Florida. There are times like this when it becomes important, as I know you understand, Shauna, to say the names.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's just, I think the job that we do in firefighting is it's a dangerous job, whether you're here in the United States, if you're in Australia, if you're in Mexico, Brazil, Portugal, anywhere. The firefighting job is a hazardous job to have with the aviation tools that we have, with air tankers, helicopters, and for ground personnel. The risks are still associated with being firefighters on the ground, no matter what country that you work in. So we know that our firefighters are highly trained, and same with the air tankers and helicopter pilots and folks that are going over there to help them.
So they all worked for Coulson Aviation with a subsidiary in Portland. CAL FIRE's Deputy Director Mike Mueller talked with us last week and said this is a very advanced aviation company that has worked in the fire arena for years, has a long relationship in California. And because you led Region 5, you have a lot of experience in this area and with Coulson. Can you talk a bit about managing the air fight in firefighting and the air resources, too?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, you know, Coulson and like our other contractors that we have for air tankers, all great companies. And, you know, it's just so sad when we lose any of them. But as far as managing the firefighting flight from aviation platform or an aviation operation that happens, there's an air attack that's usually over the scene. You have different lead planes, and the air attack helps coordinate from the airplanes or the helicopters that are flying the air with the ground resources. And, you know, the lead planes or the pilots of the air tankers look to see where they're having the drops, you know, to be safe to be on, where they're on the ground and to be effective for the firefighting. So there's a large and complex organization that's put in place to help manage the aviation aerial assets that we have on wildland fires.
What's been different in Australia compared to California?
You know, I was over there. Yep, I went to Australia in the beginning of 2020, and a lot of the same kind of a Mediterranean type of fuel type that they have over there in Australia, as we see also in California. Of course, the mountains aren't as high in elevation as they are in California, but they still have a lot of elevation change from, you know, sea level to some of their topographic or their mountain ranges that have, you know, pretty well fueled types. I think the difference is, you know, I think there's more similarities than there are differences, Beth. And it's hot and dry and a lot of fire on the landscape and a lot of communities that have been affected and, you know, firefighters and their families and the public. And, you know, they're pulling for each other just as we do with our fires that we have in the United States or in California, you know, and the things we saw from the Paradise fires or Tubbs or Southern California, the old fire. You can just go back in different times of how it's affecting that community and communities really pulling together and learning from the events of the fire and to, you know, things to do differently for the future. But I would say I saw more similarities than I saw differences.
Mm-hmm. To what you're
I guess the biggest difference I would say too is I have a lot of volunteers, and there was a lot of community pride in volunteering, and it was pretty amazing to see. It would be like, you know, your dad or your grandpa used to be a volunteer firefighter, and so then your dad was, and then so then you became a volunteer firefighter, and they have this, you know, training every Sunday where people go and they learn about, you know, how to become a firefighter, and so groups of people would be able to go and, you know, volunteer or work on their tankers, which are their engines that they have there. So some a little bit different wording on different things, you know, but very similar. We have the incident command system is international. You know, they use the same system as us. They may have a few different names, like a tanker, not an engine type thing of that, you know, or a different spot fires may call jump fires and stuff like that, but very similar.
Then tell me more about the impact to the people regarding this crash that happened last week and the connection that Australians were feeling and continue to feel toward Americans in the United States for the sharing of resources and the support during the fires.
Yeah, I think not. You know, the people in Australia are resilient. They've been through a lot. Their fire year has started earlier in their calendar year than normal, a couple months ahead of time. You know, in September and October, they were seeing fire activity in the northeastern part of Australia sooner than they would have. And, you know, I think the crash last week, there's been other fatalities that have happened also in Australia. I don't know them all with the exact number now, but I've seen them occurring, you know, just as we sometimes have too in the United States or other parts of the world. And it's sad, and I think the community is really bonding well together and helping each other out and in different areas as we would too over here. You know, and the overflow and the help that's coming in from the folks in the United States has been just awesome, you know, of things that we can help with, and not only just firefighting, but other ways for helping them rebuild and recover.
You're listening to Shauna LaGarza. She's talking to us from Washington, D.C., though she grew up in Northern Nevada. She's Director of Fire and Aviation Management for the U.S. Forest Service. Shauna, will you talk about what's happened over the past 2-3 years in the federal firefighting budget for the use of aircraft, maybe in particular these big super tankers, and how you look at the funding shifting that I understand is happening?
We did have a funding shift. 2018, we had the fire funding fix that came into place, and so that allowed the Forest Service to have a budget for firefighting and separate for fire response. And that's different than what it was in the past. In the past, we would run out of money trying to fight fires in the agency, and then we'd have to take from other departments in our agency to pay for the fire suppression. So we've got our new fire funding fix, and we're very appreciative of that. As far as the different assets that respond to beyond fires, you know, I'm a firm believer it's the right resource, right place, right time of what you need. I believe in every size of air tanker and helicopter to help us for the fire front. And it's what the firefighters on the ground need that we in the national office make available on national contracts for them. And so if you're the incident commander on the fire and you need a different type of tool, then, you know, our job is to make sure it's already on a contract for you all to be able to have that asset to help interagency any type of fire, whether it's on state jurisdiction or federal. So that's how we look at that for a budget.
In California firefighting under Governor Newsom, is there a shift to more states' responsibility in terms of some of the funding? And I know there's been this tone of resistance and some very public verbal battling back and forth between the Trump administration and the state of California. So let's take that in a couple pieces. First of all, in funding, is more responsibility being shifted to the state level?
You know, I can't speak for the state of California for what they have for funding, but what I can tell you is that fire knows no boundaries, and we're all about mutual aid and the interagency firefighting efforts. My time that I've spent in this job across many parts of the country and in California, including Southern California, we have a great bond, whether it's local government, state, or federal workers, that we have pre-run planning cards. We go for the suppression, and then when it's all done, we work out the bills after it's done on that. So we're very committed to our interagency efforts in California.
What about the topic of land and forest management? I know specific terrain might vary, and forests across the country are as different as those from here to Australia, or similar, as you said. But what about the federal versus state balance in management of forests?
Yeah, so, you know, forest and land management across, whether it's state jurisdiction or federal lands, you know, the main things that drive fire are going to be, doesn't matter what jurisdiction it's on, the fire doesn't know if it's a state land or a Forest Service land or BLM or private lands, right? It's the things that combine the elements that make fires go, whether you're in America, in the United States, or if you're in Australia. It's all about the fuels, the fuel loading that's on the ground. Those are your grasses, your shrubs, and your brushes, and, you know, the density of that, and your weather and topography. We call it fire triangle. Those three things really affect fire on the landscape, despite what jurisdictions, fuels, weather, and topography. Fuels is where your forest and land management fits into that. Like, we have been working very aggressively in the Forest Service, and I know with our partners in California and with CAL FIRE on fields reductions and thinning and mechanical and prescribed burning, and really working around communities for fuels reduction. And when you reduce the fuel loading, you know, around a community, that means there's going to be less of those shrubs and grasses, which means that there's less exposure for firefighters to get in there and really work on the fire and get the flames down to the ground. And then that allows, too, for the communities to have, you know, escape routes and be able to get out. And so a lot of work has been done in California, both federally and state, and we have a long ways to go, and we know that. And, you know, I think a lot of the importance is really, you know, pre-attack plans with your communities and really talking those types of plans through, like, where do we need to look at the risks that are associated around a community or on a landscape or a watershed, and how do we come together across boundaries to really work on those projects to make a difference in that one part of the triangle, the fuels part of the triangle. The weather, we can't control the weather. It is what it is. And, you know, we'll always be planning and preparing for when we know we're going to have hot, dry lightning weather that comes in, and when we're going to have the Santa Anas. We prepare for that interagency with local government, states, and the federal. And the topography is, you know, fire likes to go uphill with the wind unless you have a Santa Ana or a different type of wind like we saw in Paradise or an unusual wind event, and then it overrides that topography. And I think the things that I think about a lot now in my career is I'm just really proud of the firefighters and the training, interagency, both state, local, and federal, that we teach our folks, you know, all about fire behavior and fuels and weather and topography to be able to help make the best decisions as they can and have those tools in the toolbox to help them manage that fire wherever it is on the landscape.
Shawna, you've had such a vast array of experiences on the ground, firefighting at some of the biggest disasters we've experienced in the world. So to get to this point that the president continues to say that California's major issue with wildfires is a lack of forest management, even more so than climate change. And the governor saying the state's actually doing a better job with state forests than the federal government. I don't want you to step into the middle of that fight, but I am interested in what you believe and whether you share the president's view on what's happening.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. I've had a long career in firefighting. This will be, I'm going on 31 years. Can you believe it? Right? 31 years. And started when I was 18 as a young firefighter. Mm-hmm. And I think just, you know, just over time, I've seen a lot of, when I first started in firefighting, was a pretty unique season. You came to work in May, and it ended in like September, and it was a pretty kind of a 6 month type job that I had. I went to school in the off seasons and stuff, you know, and then you would get these abnormal events every once in a while. I can remember some fires in 1990, 1994, some big fires in Idaho. And, you know, I come back to the basics that feed fire, right? And feels, your weather and your topography. Those are the things that make fire go. And there's things that can activate that, whether it be natural ignitions, that could be fire, more lightning caused fires across the landscape, or, you know, we've seen arsonists in different parts of the country of that. And there's always cycles that happen, you know, in the weather systems that you have. And yet sometimes those too play a role in, you know, we had a pretty big winter, a winter ago, I believe, in on the Sierra Nevadas, not this winter, but last winter, a high snowpack, you know, and that helps with our mountains, and that helps with the fuels, you know, to be able to retain some moisture, to be a little bit more resilient if fire comes into their area. And so I don't think it's a one-size-fits-all answer, Beth, that there's so many things that allow for fire on the landscape, that it's a pretty amazing career to have been a part of, still be a part of. And, you know, it all, to me, Beth, it all comes back to having the most prepared firefighters that we have, despite your agency, and really working with the communities and the public so they understand, you know, how dangerous these jobs are that we do, and how well trained our firefighters are.
Because of the career you described and the fact that so many people know you and you have so much credibility here, I think to hear your answer on this question is really important. But does California have a lack of forest management, a problem with its forest management?
Oh, you know, I think that a lot of places in the country have areas that we can work on forest management and land management, and that it's not something that we're just going to get done this year or next year, right? It's got to be a longitudinal plan of what are we looking for how we manage our forests across vast landscapes. And we have a long ways to go on that part of the fuels triangle that I keep bringing up with you on that, you know, and I'm not going to comment with California has a problem or not on that. I know they're working very hard toward, you know, having improved management on the national forest or on the state lands or private lands. And I bring back that it's, you know, we're all in it together. We're all in it together, you know, and helping protect our national forest and having good active management helps for having resilient watersheds, which feeds water down to the cities and to the bottles of which we drink. And so that's very important to me and the food we eat. Yes.
Well, you know how closely California and anyone with experience in wildfire in this country is watching what's happening in Australia. So I appreciate, again, as I said, your time, the conversation here. I hope this is something that we can do again. And in that effort to Australia, continued safety and good luck.
Okay. Thank you very much, Beth. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
That is Shauna LaGarza, Director of Fire and Aviation Management for the U.S. Forest Service. She was joining us from Washington, D.C. You can find continuing coverage of the situation in Australia at capradio.org. Up next for us, what it's like to be in Iowa with the Iowa caucuses just a few days away. I'll talk with the co-host and reporter from the podcast Caucus Land. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio.